Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Welcome to the Scarecast. On this episode of the Scarecast Files, we will explore the case of Miranda Barber, infamously known as the Craigslist Killer. This case is a haunting reminder of how online interactions can lead to tragic outcomes. In 2013, Miranda Barber and her husband, Elliot Barber, orchestrated a gruesome murder that shocked the nation. The couple, newly married and recently relocated to Pennsylvania, lured Troy LaFerrara, a 42-year-old electrical engineer, to his death through a Craigslist ad. Miranda, then 19, offered companionship for $100 under the pretense of a sexual encounter. On November 11, 2013, she arranged to meet LaFerrara in a mall parking lot in Hummel's Wharf, Pennsylvania. And as planned, Miranda picked up LaFerrara in her car, but unbeknownst to him, Elliot was hiding in the backseat under a blanket. And once LaFerrara was in the car, Miranda used a prearranged code phrase to alert Elliot, who then strangled LaFerrara with a cord while Miranda stabbed him over 20 times. And after the murder, the couple disposed of LaFerrara's body in an alleyway in Sunbury, Pennsylvania, and attempted to clean the crime scene by purchasing cleaning supplies. This all happened before the couple went out to a strip club to celebrate Elliot's birthday. The investigation and arrest. The investigation quickly led to the Barbers, after police traced the last call from LaFerrara's phone to Miranda's phone. And initially, the couple denied knowing LaFerrara, but their stories had changed over time, leading to a mutual confession of premeditated murder. Miranda provided conflicting accounts of the murder. In one version, she claimed that she stabbed LaFerrara after he began groping and molesting her, and that she blacked out during the attack. And in another account, she stated that she attacked him because he continued his advances after she falsely claimed to be underage at the age of 16, even though she was truly 19. Although, a 19-year-old is still pretty young. When asked what was their motive, the couple claimed that the killing was a throw kill, committed just 3 weeks after their wedding. Now here's Miranda Barber's shocking claims. While in jail awaiting trial, Miranda Barber made several shocking claims. She says she joined a satanic cult at the age of 12. I kind of slid into it, but they weren't just into Satan. They were into hating minorities too. She insists that Satanism has been a positive influence in her life and helped her harness the darkness inside of her. And most of the time, as she says, "I worship a dark entity," she explains. "But just because it is dark doesn't mean that it is bad," says Miranda. She claims to have committed her first murder when she was 13 years old. It was a man who owed money to the cult's leader, whom she identifies as Only Forrest. She says she lured the man into a dark alley with the promise of sex, and Forrest would jump out of the shadows and shoot him. Forrest shot him in the chest, but he was still alive, she says. He put the gun in my hand. He put his finger over my finger and pulled the trigger. Miranda claims that she became pregnant by a member of the cult that very year. The other cult members did not want her to have the baby, she says, so they tied her to a bed, gave her drugs, and performed a gruesome in-house abortion. And before moving from Alaska, she says, she had to endure a brutal gang rape as the exit fee for leaving the cult. There were only two ways out, by death or gang rape. I was pretty beat up, says Miranda. Miranda claims that her killing spree began in Alaska and continued through California, Texas, and North Carolina. She describes an alter ego, which she calls Super Miranda, which she says is dark and violent, driving her actions almost like flipping a switch. And most of her victims were men. But she recounts an incident involving a woman in Alaska whom she believed was prostituting her children. Barbara claims that they drugged the woman, took her into the forest, tortured her, and eventually killed her by cutting and throwing her into a hole in the ice. Miranda also recounts meeting an older man from Texas in an online chat forum, who mistakenly believed that she was much younger. He had prepared the hotel room with bondage equipment, but she considered him one of her molesters, despite initially liking him. Additionally, Miranda claims to have killed a man in self-defense while working as a go-go dancer in Florida, asserting her youthful appearance made it easy to kill older men. In an interview with the Daily Item, Miranda confessed to being involved in at least 22 murders across the United States. And these claims would draw widespread attention and led to investigations by the FBI and law enforcement in the aforementioned states. Despite her confessions, authorities expressed skepticism about the veracity of her claims. Her claims remained unverified, casting doubt on her self-proclaimed status as a serial killer. Additionally, her family has described her as a manipulative liar. While awaiting trial, Miranda decided to try and end her own life. In an exclusive jailhouse interview with Newsweek, she would recount quietly unscrewing the bulb from the socket in her cell, smash it on the ground, pick through the shards, searching for a piece sharp enough to slice open her wrist. She was dismayed that none of the pieces would do the job. She would tell Newsweek that she didn't want to end it all. She just wanted to hit the reset button. I believe in reincarnation, she says. I wanted a fresh start. Among the reasons she wanted to die is her heavy burden of regret. Regret for her family's pain and the slaughtered reputation because of what she had done. Most of all, regret that she may never hold her husband or young daughter again. I knew I would be put away, but I just didn't think it would all happen so quickly, she says. I thought I would have more time to say goodbye. But she has no regrets about Troy LaFerrara. I felt no regret, None, she says. I didn't hurt anyone who didn't deserve it. Miranda Barber claims that her actions were justified, asserting that she prevented future abuse of young girls by killing LaFerrara, whom she describes as having agreed to engage in sexual activity despite her telling him that she was underage, lying to him by saying that she was only 16 years old. She expressed that the justice system failed, prompting her to take matters into her own hands.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant, Sweet Tango Apples, guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples, too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.
Background of the perpetrators. Miranda suffered severe sexual abuse as a child, which has been a significant factor in her troubled life. When she was almost 3 years old, her aunt and uncle, Melissa and Richard Fernandez, moved down the street near her family in North Pole, Alaska. Miranda frequently spent weekends at their house, where her uncle Rick would encourage sleepovers. It later emerged that these visits involved repeated sexual abuse, described by the prosecutor as sodomized in every way imaginable, making it one of the most extreme abuse cases that the trial judge had ever encountered. This abuse devastated Miranda's family, who had already faced similar violations of trust within their extended family. Investigators would find pornography in a sexual abuse manual titled Fun with My Sister's Kids among Richard's belongings. The book, as described by prosecutors, encouraged incestuous acts and was linked to the abuse Fernandez was accused of. He pleaded no contest, avoiding trial, but not admitting guilt. And despite family pleas for a harsher punishment, Fernandez received a 19-year sentence with 5 years suspended. Richard Fernandez was a repeat offender, experiencing a cycle of incarceration due to repeated parole violations. Initially, after serving 9 years and 4 months, he was released, but quickly returned to jail within 2 months for violating parole. And this pattern would continue, with Fernandez spending 3 months in jail and then 5 months out, before being incarcerated again for 16 months. His inability to adhere to parole conditions, such as participating in a sex offender treatment program and avoiding prohibited material, contributed to his recidivism. Fernandez's behavior, including visiting a porn store and accessing the internet to view pornography, indicated a lack of commitment to rehabilitation, and a social worker noted that Fernandez was not ready to change, as he often blamed others and refused to take accountability for his own actions, making him unsuitable for treatment. By May 2011, Fernandez was incarcerated yet again, and 2 months later, he faced new charges for possession of child pornography. Investigators would find hundreds of such images on his computer, and as a result, Fernandez is now serving a 40-year prison term, with 20 years to serve and 20 years suspended. and is required to remain registered as a sex offender for life. He is scheduled for release in 2035. Now, Miranda faced a tumultuous life, marked by running away from home, developing a drug problem, and experiencing unstable living conditions among her family members. And she would eventually move to North Carolina to be near her mother, where she met her future husband, Elliot. Miranda had worked as a grocery store cashier before relocating to Pennsylvania after 3 years in a relationship with Elliot. Elliot, on the other hand, was a 22-year-old high school graduate who graduated from Triton High School in 2010. And prior to the move to Pennsylvania, Elliot was living with his parents at their home on Tart Road West, just outside Coates in Dunn, North Carolina. Elliot and Miranda had only been married for about 3 weeks at the time of the murder. They were married in October 2013. During the trial of Miranda Barber, the defense used several key arguments to mitigate her responsibility and avoid the death penalty. The defense highlighted Miranda Barber's traumatic childhood, including the sexual abuse by her uncle, which they argued contributed to her psychological state and criminal behavior. There were suggestions that the defense might pursue an insanity defense, giving Barber's claims of being part of a satanic cult and her confession to multiple murders. Her grandiose claims and erratic behavior were framed as potential indicators of mental illness. Both Miranda and Elliot initially pleaded not guilty to first-degree murder charges, which carried the possibility of the death penalty. However, they later pleaded guilty to second-degree murder, avoiding the death penalty, but receiving life sentences without the possibility of parole. They were also convicted of aggravated assault, robbery, and possession of an instrument of crime. The case captivated the public and media, not only because of the brutal nature of the crime, but also due to Miranda's sensational claims of being a serial killer. Her story raised questions about the influence of childhood trauma on criminal behavior and the potential dangers of online interactions. The case of Miranda Barber serves as a grim reminder of the potential for darkness and human nature and the unforeseen consequences of online connections. It underscores the importance of vigilance and caution in our digital interactions. As we conclude this episode of the Scarecast, we are left pondering the blurred lines between reality and the tales spun by those seeking infamy. Thank you for joining us on this chilling journey. Stay safe, and until next time.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.